everyone, Sam here, your mother of Valkyries and host of the Sword and the Ribbon podcast. Today, Taryn of Bookish Babes Retreat is here to chat with me. Taryn is the owner of the Etsy shop Page Turners United and owner of Bookish Babes Retreat. She hosts fantasy adventure events where you can feel like the main character of your own adventure. She is an Army vet and Texan local who has been traveling to book events, Comic-Cons, and anime conventions since the sixth grade. Hi, Taryn.
Hi, Sam.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
I'm so excited. I listen in all the time.
I know. When you messaged me one day about, like, you were crying listening, I think it was to episode 18, I was like, oh, yeah, that's a rough episode.
It was. But if it had the good feels.
That's all that matters. That's all that I need to come out of it. So tell the listeners a little bit about yourself. Like, what would your dust jacket say about you?
So I used to be a firefighter, an MMA fighter, you already said it, I'm retired Army, and I used to be a volunteer coordinator. My whole life was focused around helping other people and empowerment.
That's incredible. So what's a volunteer coordinator? I actually don't know what that is.
So I actually helped over 500 active teenage volunteers through like get together between different schools in the community. Have you ever heard of a Rotary Club called the Ruitans?
I've heard of Rotary Club. I don't know any smaller things.
So Rotary Club normally has that like gear looking symbol as their icon. The Ruitans were a subsection of that in Virginia. And we created the Ruitines because my principal just so happened to be in the committee. And he came to me and one of my friends who, she was a daughter of someone else who was in the committee, and said, hey, can we start up this club to help get more active, like, teenage volunteers in the area? So it ended up being spread between, like, five different schools.
Like you said, you're so used to helping everyone, so we'll get to it in a bit, but the whole retreat and cons thing is, like, really second nature for you.
I love it. It's home.
Well, before we get into all of the hominess and all that you do, I have a couple of fun questions for you.
Okay.
Is your full name Taranok?
No.
So you're not secretly a dragon shifter?
I mean, I am, but that's on the down low.
Oh, oops, sorry. I spilled your secrets.
I will be doing Taranok for Rain and Revelry's event in Michigan this year, though.
All fun. So your name's just Taryn. I just think of Jack from Will and Grace. Just Jack. Just Taryn.
Yes. Just Taryn.
Just Taryn. Well, I think that's perfect that you ended up cosplaying with Taranok. So I know you love the Percy Jackson series. Which is your favorite book and who is your favorite character?
It definitely would be the Lightning Thief and Annabeth. She reminded me like it was okay and cool to still be smart and powerful.
Love Annabeth. Are you all caught up on the TV show? Did you love it? I just have to
Yes.
Ask.
I had a whole watch party with the committee behind Bookish Babes Retreats.
And oh, amazing.
We posted some of our reaction videos on the story. It was great.
I love that. I think I caught what? I think I caught like the first episode or like your reaction to the first episode. I don't think I caught anything else.
We cried a lot. There was so many like behind the scenes things that we were finding out, like the writer actually being in the show multiple times and those moments where he was like, I know I wrote it this way, but I'm going to add in this little extra scene about like most people didn't catch this, but in the show, Percy sacrificing food in the home of the gods to his mother was not in the book.
My eyes got real big because I'm trying to pull this together and remember anything.
I think it was in like the second or third episode. But he was pretty much just trying to like talk to his mom or just say like, I'll come find you. And that made all of us just be like, that wasn't there before. Because it was kind of like seeing years later, like over a decade later, hey, this author gets a chance to rewrite some of the most pivotal moments. And it was just beautiful.
That's so cool. I didn't know that. So I'll have to watch it again with like like fresher eyes, because I read those books in like a flurry last year, so didn't like sink everything in all the way. But I love those like little behind the scenes like tidbits. So who is your, or who, not who, which is your favorite SJM series?
Throne of Glass, hands down, my favorite one.
So which one of the Throne of Glass?
See, I am terrible with book names. That one, I will not give you a book name because one, there's too many. There's not enough of the series, but there's too many titles for me to say this one in particular.
There, fair enough. I'll give you that. But just in a whole, you loved it all.
I remember this being one of the books that got me out of my reading slump. And I remember traveling and like kicking my feet up in the air and actually giggling at this book series. So it gave me physical responses reading that, which don't always happen.
That's incredible. I feel like SJM's books just tend to get a lot of people out of like whatever reading slump they are, whether it be ACOTAR, Throne of Glass, maybe even Crescent City. I actually haven't heard people say Crescent City got them out of their slump yet, but at least the other two, that's so cool that this author can get people to come out of their slumps.
Crescent City was a little bit of a difficult read for me. It was all of a sudden like a lot of information.
It is. That's fair. I think everyone kind of approaches it that way, and then it gets better for everyone. I hope. Speaking for the masses. But who is your favorite Archeron sister?
Does it count if I like their man?
Yes. Always.
Okay. So then Nesta stole Cassian from me. I just have to say that.
So you like Nesta because you want to be with Cassian.
She has a decent story arc. There's a whole fandom that is dedicated to her redemption arc. I think that it is beautiful to try and see the depth of the character and like how rock bottom can actually look. And I like that was portrayed as a strong female role that was still willing to be vulnerable and overcome that. And Cassian.
So why Cass?
He's like a goofball. He's the golden retriever goofball who is the most dependable. And put your hand on the headboard. Like, yes, please.
Yes, 100%. I'm going to just tangent here real quick. Have you taken the Night Court workout on Micro Squad?
I'm scared. What's the Night Court workout?
So I have all the court workouts for Prithian, but the Night Court one, the very last move is called Put Your Hands on the Headboard, but it's a stretching move.
Oh, but I have heard you reference that already.
I'm not surprised.
There was a core workout one that I was doing the other day, and you were referencing Cassian, like, come on, he's watching. You don't want to give up in front of him. And I was like, No, I don't.
Yep. So I guess it's safe to say that you take Valkyrie Squad workouts. Would you recommend Valkyrie Squad?
Oh, absolutely. So we've talked about this before, but you know that I have physical limitations and I'm 100% disabled from the army. So a lot of what Valkyrie Squad does allows modifications for all different types of workouts that someone who's been through serious training and has even worked with fitness instructors in the past, they don't always provide those level of modifications, but you do, and you still make it fun and upbeat and, like, again, empowering.
Well, thanks. We'll have to share a video because I have all the clips saved. I just haven't done anything with them yet. But you took like the very first Valkyrie Squad workout. I think it was just like the Valkyrie training, the very first one I made before the program came out. And you were laughing and falling over. And you left the screen at one point and like got, was it a cane or was it a chair to like support yourself during lunges?
Oh, yes. That was actually my cane. Because my spine is messed up, my hips are messed up, my knees are messed up. So we were doing lunges and I was literally about to topple over at that point.
I mean, I know I say this in most of my workouts and it hits more with parents, but I'll say like if you can't like balance hold on to the head of your child, like use them as a support system. There's workouts where Becca will hold my shoulder or like heavily lean on me to support herself. So I love that you showed that.
I have also brought an axe into one of my workouts that you've done, where instead of having weights at the side, I was like, I'm just going to bring an axe in and I'm going to pass this back and forth between my hands.
That's smart. I'm hoping that the axe had its cover on it, right?
It did. It did.
Safety first. I love that, though, because I love hearing people's like creativity and what they use in their props at home for weights, because you don't necessarily need to use weights all the time. So you're the first axe weight holder.
Oh, heck yeah. Remember me forever.
Yeah. I'm saying I don't think people will forget that. It's a little terrifying. This episode is sponsored by Bookish Babes Retreat. Have you ever wanted to attend Camp Half-Blood? Immerse yourself into a world of literary wonders and bring your favorite books to life. Join this year's Bookish Babe Retreat in Van, Texas, September 6th to the 8th for an experience like no other, where you'll be surrounded by fellow bibliophiles, captivating events, and the chance to forge lifelong friendships. From author meet and greets to a book swap library to s'mores and stories with narrators and even a gossip of mermaids pool party, the retreat offers a haven for those seeking to indulge in their love for books. Did I mention I'll be there too? And teaching sword fighting. But it's not just about the stories on the pages. The Bookish Babes Retreat is a sanctuary where you can build connections that will endure beyond the final chapter. Engage in unique group challenges, exciting games, and collaborative activities that will deepen bonds with fellow retreat attendees. Escape the confines of reality and let the Bookish Babes Retreat transport you to a world where books are cherished, imagination knows no bounds, and the joy of reading is celebrated. Head to the website bookishbabesretreat.com for more information and to grab your ticket today. And I can't wait to see you there. So one of the things I love to do on this podcast is to have our guests share their stories. SJM got it right when she wrote, "Our stories are worth telling." Taryn, would you mind sharing your story about what it was like to be in the military?
Do you want the happy version or the heartbreaking reality?
Let's start with the reality and then end on a good note.
So for people that actually care to listen, I will tell them I was both running away from something bad and going towards something good by joining the army. Home life was bad. The army gave me a shot at a different kind of future. So it did give me a sense of camaraderie and friends that are all over the world now that I never imagined. However, it can be one of the most belittling experiences of anyone's life, where when I got injured, people stopped caring and I became a liability. I helped work and set up the first ever COVID drive-through detail, and we had generals from other bases like helicopter in to see what we were doing. And I was supposed to work oral surgery. It's a very small niche thing in the army, but when COVID happened, it became elective. So I got pulled out of there and put into a COVID detail for a few years. And that was a very wild and interesting experience. We were put in hazardous situations and ended up that the leadership got in trouble for the stuff that they were doing with how bad the environment was for us. So that was also right after I got my right hip reconstructed and I wasn't allowed to go to physical therapy.
Oh my God.
So I was on opiates for almost a year straight because they would not allow me to get the help that I needed. And then eventually when I went to drop an officer packet to go warrant officer, they said they would not allow me to take a PT test because they thought my hip wouldn't be able to handle it. So I said, I'm dropping my med board packet.
Wow. I'm so sorry. That's not a... Yeah, you're right. It is a heartbreaking story to share, but what got you out of there, and you returned home? How did we go from there?
Like, you're saying home mentally, or like, what do you mean?
Asking those real specific questions. So, okay, let's start with this one. Then, leaving the military, like, how did you leave? Like, I know you've told me little bits of your story, but for our listeners, like, how did you leave?
So I went through a process called the Med Board, which is a very long process where doctors check you out and do like a complete examination. I was determined that I'm 100% permanently and totally disabled because of the injuries I've succumbed to throughout my service. And after a certain point in time, they said, your contract's going to be up on this date because of your Med Board. And then I was just released into the wild. My unit was so terrible. They did not let me go to the warrior transitioning unit. So I literally went from military environment to absolute nothingness and just, okay, you're not working anymore. Here's a severance pay because we broke you, but this is what you have now.
So how did you get home, like, to your actual home and finding, like, a safe space from that point and learning how to heal, go through this whole new healing process and relearning your body?
So I had actually bought a house in Texas while I was still active duty, so I was able to just go back home to my home. But while I was on leave, I went to something called Books, Gowns, and Crowns, and that introduced me into the book talk world more and so much more of life that it helped me want to heal, so that way I could do more travels and make more friends at events and stuff like this, because it felt like I finally found my people, if that makes sense.
Well, that makes complete sense. I think a lot of, and I've been through several different, like, my own, like, communities, but I feel like the book community in general has this sense of, like, home and finding your people. So I love that, like, Books, Gowns, and Crowns was your introductory. And that is that how you started Page Turners United?
Yes, it is. So having been to, like, so many different anime conventions and Comic-Cons and stuff growing up, do you know those, like, spicy body pillows that are floating about?
Yes.
So I was used to seeing those at conventions. And when I went to Books, Gowns, and Crowns, I was talking to the vendors and learning about, oh, how do you get licensed with an author? Like, that's really cool. Let me stop and talk to you about this. And they said, it's really easy. You literally just message their publishing house, tell them what you want to do, and then you sign a contract with them. Sometimes there's more steps in between, of course. But on a wild whim, I totally thought that this was going to be a rejected idea. But I reached out to Sarah J. Maas's publishing house and said, hey, I'm interested in making spicy body pillows for your male characters. Is this something that would be of interest? And they, within 3 days, got back to me saying, yes, send us your art. And I had never done digital art in my life. And within 3 months, I was licensed by several different authors and had over 140 different designs on my Etsy shop, all from that moment.
What a moment to have and to, like, look back on. Because I do remember seeing your spicy body pillows pop up. You have a Rune Danon one, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I remember seeing that, and I sent it to Mariah, who was our first Valkyrie guest on season one, because she loves Rune Danon. I don't know if she ever bought it, but just a fun little fact is that I remember seeing runes, and I sent it to Mariah.
That is such a small world moment. I love that.
So I just, because, yeah, she just always kept talking about Rune, and I was like, I have to send you this.
Yeah, because everyone was talking about, like, having their book boyfriend, and I was like, let me give you your book boyfriend.
Yes, I do need one. I really do need one. I need one. Can I petition one from a different book series?
Maybe. We shall see. I worked with a different artist for that, specifically because what I was doing was not up to par with the level I wanted them to be at. So I did commission someone for the rights to the artwork so that way I could then license it with Sarah J. Maas just for the body pillows.
I love that. I mean, I understand that of like, you have that image in your head and you just can't like make it yourself. So you're like, someone do this for me. I can't.
Someone more talented than me, please come help.
Yes, exactly. So during that time, you were going to events and anime cons too, right?
Yes.
So tell me more about your con adventures. I was going to say conventures, but that doesn't sound right. But were you a con woman?
Maybe. I am in a way. I've been going to anime events and comic cons and all sorts of different conventions since the sixth grade. That was always my happy space. And I have over 100 different collectively under my belt.
So you have over 100. Did you cosplay at every single one?
No. Okay. But I did start as young as middle school cosplaying anime characters.
Okay, I don't know enough about anime, so just tell our listeners, because they may not know, who did you cosplay? Who was your first cosplay?
It was actually a cat cosplay. It was an Ikso from Sugachara. It's like a very wholesome, like the power of friendship, good always wins out kind of anime. I was in middle school.
That's okay. It works.
They did escalate, though. Like, I did get hugged by Jason Momoa as Mira, and I had a picture with Stan Lee as Mystique, and I had made 13 different body prosthetics. The yellow contacts absolutely scared me.
Okay, wait, hold on. I'm still processing the big name drops there. So you cosplayed as Mira from Aquaman and met Jason Momoa.
Yes.
That's fucking incredible. And then, okay, well, just Stan Lee. That's just enough to say.
What's even better is in the picture with Jason Momoa, he's hugging me and pushing my ex-husband away by the face.
That's amazing. I love that so much.
And then with Stan Lee, I was the first to enter the little like photo moment, and I was just like starstruck, of course, and was just like, hello, hi. And he just leans in his little old man chair, and he's like, I don't know who you are, but you look interesting. Like, obviously knowing that I am head to toe covered in blue paint and scales, like his character. And my mom walked in and she's like, did Stan Lee just flirt with my daughter? My little sister is in the picture as another, like, we're all from different universes cosplaying things. And my mom's looking confused, like, did he just flirt with my daughter? I'm just starstruck and my sister's cheesing mad hard.
That's, I love these stories. Oh, I want more. But what is your favorite cosplay, and what cosplay do you like set your sights on? Like, what is one that you haven't done yet that you really want to?
My favorite cosplay would have been Mystique. That was the shortest time span I was ever in a cosplay for, because I was just completely overwhelmed with the response that I got at Tidewater Comic Con. And a cosplay I would love to set my sights for would be probably like an original character dryad, like foresty kind of creature. Because I'm very big into nature and would love to see what I could create. For Sinful Signings, I created an astrology-based character, because at Sinful Signings, they wanted people to come as sins, so I chose Pride to be astrology. And I had over 120 feet of lights inside the dress, and a cloud cane that lit up as I walked.
What?
And a hoop skirt that was detachable with planets that I could move on it, and I had 200 AI generated horoscopes that I was just giving out to people at the ball.
I say, I have no words. That sounds like I need to see pictures and videos of all of this because this is incredible. And like right now on my TikTok, have you watched Has Been Hotel?
Yes.
So Alistair, I've been seeing a lot of people do his microphone and like, but I could totally see you doing somebody from Has Been.
Who would I be from Has Been?
Biasly, I want to say Nifty just because she's chaotic.
No, wait, I'll fight you if you say Nifty.
I could totally see you being Nifty. It just fits right.
When I was watching it with my best friend, she and I just kept looking at each other. And it was really funny because she was definitely baggy. And she was looking at me like, you're definitely Charlie. Like, I'm just okay. Let's go. Let's go do the things. Let's have fun.
Yes. Yes. I can see Charlie, but I can also see Nifty.
I agree. I have a little Nifty tendencies.
Yes. Yes. I see that when you do your Terran cosplays.
Charlie told me to stab, so I did.
Yeah. It's okay. It's fine.
Yeah.
So do you have a cosplay name and how do you pick one?
I do not. I just go by my regular name. I missed that notification when I got into the world of like cosplaying of like, who do you go by? Like your stage name. And I'm just like, oh, it's Taryn.
Just
people
Taryn.
Think it's a fake name enough. It's fine.
I'd say there's only other than from Fourth Wing, but that's a full long name. The only other character I've come across that has your name is from The Cruel Prince, and it's Jude's sister, is Taryn.
See, I just read the first Cruel Prince, so I don't know anything else, but I did find out that there was another Taryn, and I was like, I don't like this Taryn as much. She's a traitor. I don't know enough, so I don't know if she gets better or she gets worse as a traitor.
Just keep reading the series. I'm not going to say anything.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
I'm not going to say anything. Just keep reading. But that is the only other like instance I have encountered your name. But yes, your name is very unique. And I love that. Does it mean anything?
It means Little Thunder in Welsh, which is part of why I had to cosplay Taranach, because that is Scottish Gaelic for thunder.
Yes. But Little Thunder just makes sense for you. It's so perfect.
Yeah. Very Nifty vibes.
Exactly. See, I think your next cosplay should be Nifty. Okay, so from cosplaying to Bookish Babes Retreat, how did we get here?
So after going to so many different types of events, I eventually became a vendor, which was kind of like the next step up. So I had done cosplaying, I had done cosplay competitions, and continued to go into the book world where I learned how to become a vendor and get licensing. Well, I've been a licensed vendor at several different events. I think I'm going on like 12 or 13 at this point. So it started to get a little bit repetitive in the book world. So I was like, man, I have prior MMA, firefighting, soldier, like I want to get more in the dirt, like bonding, doing stuff together that isn't just 500 people in a room where only some of us know how to dance, because I was teaching people how to dance and I was kind of being like the cosplay mom running around and helping fix people's stuff that were slipping or malfunctioning, dress issues, like people that don't know how to train. Like, or have a train and dance with it. I showed them how to like tie it up or knot it in a certain way. So I was like, you know, I can do something like this, but different, because I didn't want to compete with my friends that were doing other book fantasy balls, but I wanted that nitty gritty, like down in the dirt bonding.
Yeah.
So that's how Bookish Babes Retreats came to be. And then you said, oh, heck yes, sword fighting, let me do it.
Yes, your TikTok popped up. I remember I sent it to like a million people. I was like, let's go.
You were actually the first person featured guest-wise that put their deposit down.
Oh, it's because I have zero.
You were,
that's why.
Immediately like 100% in, and it gave me a lot of courage that I was on the right path doing something that people would actually want.
I did not know I was the first person. I just have zero chill. That's the thing. Sign me up. No questions asked. Let's go. But no, like your event intrigued me because it was, you know, we're going to go out into the wilderness. We're going to go do fun activities. We're going to be around other bookish people. It's like, oh, like, yeah, like you said, we're not going to be just stuck in a room. We get to go do things, and I just need to go do all the things. As much as I want to just sit and read all the time, I want to go do all the things too. So it was like the perfect like culmination of everything.
I wanted to create a space where instead of going and talking about the books you love, you get to feel like you are the main character in your own story and like have the training battlegrounds. And there are people that said, oh, it's a shame that I can't have my husband in the same cabin because the requirements are to have them separated mm-hmm. by gender for the policy of the retreat. And we said, let's turn it into an enemies to lovers weekend. You guys compete about the different things, and then you get to go home, and boom, now you have one bed trope.
Oh my, this is fucking genius. I'm dead. That was beautiful. Did I miss this video somewhere?
Oh, it was like a long time ago. Someone was like geeking out about it. They absolutely adored the idea. And then after that, people stopped complaining about sleeping in separate areas.
That's amazing, though. That's so like, that's just so cute. I can't anymore. Okay, so tell us more about your retreat. Like, give our listeners a quick summary of what it's going to be like. You've already teased it, so like, give us all of it.
So the whole point is to build bonds that last beyond the final chapter, meaning to bring people together in shared experiences that even after they leave, they get to keep in touch. We have you learning sword fighting classes by Sam and a surprise Sarah J. Maas crossover skit planned for it, bracelet making with the Fae, sunball with Bryce and Hunt as team captains, ziplining with Ginny Weasley, Asriel and Zayden Ryerson, horseback riding groups going on, an anthology with live narrators around a massive campfire, a book swap with over 500 books, and nighttime pool parties. And it's just going to be so much fun. We worked really hard to make it as immersive as possible. And for anyone listening, if you want to find out more information, you can at bookishbabesretreat.com or on our TikTok.
There's just so many things. Of course, because I'm a guest at the event and I've seen the itinerary. There's just so many fun things. I don't know if at this point the itinerary is public or finalized. I don't
you
know
can
yet.
Talk about it as much as you want.
So Taryn just gave us this whole rundown of what's happening, but Taryn has thought out like every piece of this retreat, that there is always something happening. Very much similar to a con of there's always an activity going on. There's always something you can go do, but you have the option to just go like sit in this library or sit by the lake or the pool and read if you want to. There's endless possibilities, and you've literally thought of it all. And I'm just amazed that you thought of all of these little things.
It was very important to me while planning this that I thought about introverted and extroverted people and like the differences in what they would want to do. So that way both people had their safe space, as well as the ticket tiers Book Dragon and Book Worm were originally created that way. So that way the high impact activities were Book Dragons and the low impact activities were Book Worms. That's because I'm disabled. So that helps people that aren't as physically well off like myself to be able to still attend something like this where there's still going to be a full itinerary going on for you, even if you don't want to do zip lining or sword fighting.
I just fathomed at how you thought of literally everything to bring this retreat together.
Thanks. It's the military in me.
But it's all your event. Like, you've gone to events, you coordinated things from high school. Like, you've been doing so much. It just all led to this moment and this retreat.
This is my baby.
I understand. They don't call me mother for nothing.
Mother. 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 I need help, mother.
Mother. So what is your hope for the future of Bookish Babes Retreat?
I just want to be able to continue to bring people together and have fun. Eventually, I'd love to have it be in a castle with more excursions and activities. And we are trying to find a venue for Chapter 2 of Bookish Babes Retreat.
I need to point out first before I like continue on any other train of thought that I love that you're calling it Chapter 2. I don't know if you've noticed in our podcast, like we call each podcast like a chapter.
I didn't even think about it like that. I kind of wanted it to have its own like chapter and then a subtitle name.
Yeah, like it's a story. You're giving us story adventures.
And yes, there's a couple of different paths that I was thinking about taking, whether that be the villain's arc or assassin's training or monsters and mythic. It all will depend on what I have going on at the venue, what I can do.
Mythic and monsters, villains, assassins. I'm signed up for all of it. You just know I'm just going to be there. Just sign me up. I'm Charlie. I'll come along to everything. I'll just tag along. Even if I'm not a guest, I'll still be there.
You're always welcome, Sam. You're always welcome.
Everyone should come. Just saying. Everyone should come. So to make our last question a fun one, although I feel like this whole thing has been fun, if you could do a retreat based on any book or bookish theme, which would you choose?
That was a really hard one. I would be torn between Harry Potter and ACOTAR, but I think I'd have to go with Harry Potter because it's so established and so much to use working off of for references for things during the planning process.
I like want to ask, but I also don't want to like give all your ideas away. Like, what would that be?
Little do you know, I also attended something called Potterville or Pottermore, where there is a street, an entire street section of somewhere in Northern Virginia, where the entire town, every shop has a Harry Potter themed weekend. They have playing cards. There were little kids in under the broomwell closets that were just posted up there all weekend, ready to Avada Kedavra or like Expelliarmus at you. There were cauldron bath bombs everywhere. There were cosplayers in the streets to take pictures of. Like, you could pull your own mandrake. Like, I've been to so many things. It just, when I talk to people, I forget that it's not as common to travel like that.
I'm like, wait, so I need a list of all of these places. Yeah. Because like Salem was probably the closest because Salem incorporated so much like Potter stuff. Like, you can make your wand or buy a wand, you can make a broom. Like, that was the closest I could find where there was, other than England. England's kind of the obvious one. But other than that, like here in the U.S., couldn't find stuff like
that. It was more immersive than Disney World. All of the streets had their own house signs on the light post.
Well, I'm excited to see all the funness that's coming with Bookish Babes Retreat. But this week's piece of Cauldron Blessed Wisdom is from Taryn, and the floor is all yours.
Thank you, Sam. This week's Cauldron Blessed Wisdom is, it only takes 15 seconds of courage to start something new. In life, we are faced with choices every second of every day. Sometimes we can let fears or anxieties take an opportunity away from us by not acting on whatever that thing may be. I want you to consider pausing. Deep breath in, exhale. Commit 15 seconds of courage is what your action piece is going to be. It takes 15 seconds of courage to initiate something before your body can naturally take over. Sing the song, try the new dance, walk across the stage, or even in other cases, simply stand up for yourself or others. I want you to take a moment to think of something you've wanted to do but haven't yet and envision it in a positive light. How would it feel to accomplish said task? Your action item of the week would be to go forth and make it into reality by committing 15 seconds of courage to initiate anything you want. Fear is an excellent advisor, but a terrible driver.
Whew. I loved that. That was wisdom worthy of the Oracle. But I didn't need to climb into a creepy attic to hear it. And you don't need to look anything like a shriveled mummy. So thank you for that.
Of course.
And thank you so much, Taryn, for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. It was so much fun. And to all you listeners, until next episode, or until I see you in Texas at the retreat, remember to be strong, kick ass, and be fucking magical every day. This episode was produced by Bex Castro, Mia Garlock, and Carolyn McMorrin. Special thanks to Taryn for coming on this podcast. You can connect with her on TikTok and Instagram at Bookish Babes Retreat. Special thank you to Taylor Ash for creating the music of this podcast. And thanks for listening to The Sword and the Riven by The Micro Squad. If you're interested in learning more about The Valkyrie Squad, visit us at thevalkyriesquad.com. If you're interested in learning more about The Micro Squad or Geek Gym for a class, visit us at themicrosquad.com. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcasts from so you don't miss out. And if you like this week's episode, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.